You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
All right, here we go on a Tuesday. It's Cody and Gold, Alex Gold, Cody Tapp, Drew Nixon with you. Jay Southland, Tow Service text line wide open, 913-586-7965. Coming up in a half hour, our VNFL insider is back stateside. He was out of the country a little bit last week.
So he had to watch the Chiefs in person on Sunday.
He was in Kansas City and maybe is still or flying out today. I'm not sure. Yeah, I know he was in Kansas City on Sunday.
That's a good question.
We'll find out if he, I think there was some of his teammates maybe at WWE last night. Wasn't that going on?
I saw Carter Jensen at, yeah, Raw.
So we'll Monday ask night him. Raw. I know he's a big wrestling guy. So we'll get into that. We'll obviously talk some NFL and what continues just to be one of the more crazy NFL season. I'm not just talking about like the fact that the Chiefs are not going to make the playoffs and everything. I'm just saying that we got reports that Philip Rivers is seriously being considered as a quarterback for the Colts. He had a workout last night. Like, there's a chance next Monday night. So like not this coming Monday, but the following, as in when the Colts are hosting the 49ers, there's a real chance that on Monday Night Football, it's Philip Rivers against Brock Purdy.
Cool.
In 2025.
I'll tell you this much. Watching the level of quarterback play you get weekly in the NFL, nothing makes me happier than to know that the Chiefs have Patrick Mahomes for probably at least another decade because you're down to Philip Rivers. Then, yeah, you got a whole other problems. I know we'll talk about that in a minute, but I don't know that in a weird way, I guess I'm kind of curious to watch Philip Rivers play football in the, like, you know, you slow down because a car's on fire on the shoulder way. But yeah, generally speaking, I would say not super interested in what Philip Rivers still has left
in
the tank.
And then at 1 o'clock, Nate Taylor going to join us, our Chiefs insider from ESPN. We'll of course get right back into some of the bigger picture issues with the Chiefs with Nate, including how we're going to start the show today, which is like yesterday we discussed the fallout from the loss on Sunday, short term. We went through of course every single issue that occurred in the loss against the Houston Texans. But I think the obvious question is, beyond this year, do you feel like this is the end of the run, right? Because it's one thing to say, all right, they're going to miss the playoffs this year. Okay, but do you believe that they're right back at it next year? Or do you think there's going to be, maybe hopefully not a decade gap like Patriots, but is there going to be a year or two gap before this team is viewed as one of the top teams in the AFC again? Are you confident that the run is not over in that realm at least?
It's hard because I don't know the answer on Travis Kelce yet, right? So I don't know if he's going to be back. But with the age of Travis Kelce, the age of Chris Jones and the position he plays, and them still being the Chiefs' best players, I think the answer kind of has to be yes. Like, I don't want to be negative or say that they can't just, I'm not saying they can't turn it around faster than New England did. They don't have to go a decade before winning a Super Bowl. Although, in fairness, They only took like a 3-year hiatus to going back to a Super Bowl. They just didn't win the next two. They lost a couple to the Giants. It's not like they just fell off the planet and stopped mattering. But tell me right now, look at the roster and tell me who was a part of the previous crew and is now part of this one. Well, the Hollywood Brown, like the free agent signing guys, they're going to go. I think Harrison Butker's maybe got a year left. Chris Jones, maybe a couple. Travis Kelce, probably done this year, maybe one more. Like, they're in need of a roster reset and also just contractually are getting ready to go through one. And so Trip McDuffie is the only of the young players, I would say, who is one of their best players and currently under contract. And you and I are saying they might entertain calls on him.
I think they have to.
In the offseason. And so if they're going through this rebuild, I'm having a hard time looking at this season and not saying it, not like tear down time, but yeah, the previous one, it's over. You had a great dynasty. It was a hell of a run. It's ending right now. You've watched it end, and we'll start anew next year with a new group, new ideas, fresh thought. The only thing that's going to not make it feel that way is no change in offensive coordinator, no change in defensive coordinator. Like, the coaching stuff will make it feel like kind of hard to turn that page.
And that's where, like, to answer the question, is it the end of the run? I think there's at least a 1-year pivot here, but also it depends on to what extent are the changes. Are there any staff changes? Are there personnel changes? As you said, they're of course has to be based off of who's under contract, who's not, but is there a big shift as in core pieces? We've talked about this for a couple of years, you know, Patrick Mahomes, core piece, Chris Jones, core piece, Kelce, core piece. We added Trent McDuffie to that list last year, core piece of this franchise, you know, the pillars, if you will, of the franchise. Well, one of them could retire. I think he's going to, and Travis Kelce. The other one, you and I just acknowledged again here a second ago and have for weeks that they will have to entertain the Trent McDuffie conversation. That could be two pillars. And then the Chris Jones thing is really complicated because of the finances behind it. But the argument with Chris Jones, if you look at some of the dead cap numbers, is do you deal with the pain in 2026 to be clear in 2027? Or do you try to balance the two in 26 and then you're still feeling it in 27 and then you're really not clear of it fully till 2028? And that's the tough decisions that Brett Veach is going to have to figure out. This idea of like ripping the Band-Aid off kind of thing, or we're just going to slowly peel it off and actually lasts a little bit longer. I'm talking about the Chris Jones contract in particular. And these are the really tough decisions that they're going to have to make. I was listening to Dane and Hughes this morning. He was on with Bob and Dusty and he was talking through, you know, just where this team is at compared to a year ago and how they're in this spot and looking ahead.
We're just two plays different than last year's team. And we're not better and we're not worse. The record is worse, but we're not worse. And I think because we were winning football games, maybe some things were brushed under the rug. And we thought we could win the same type of way this year. And that's not the case. Teams have caught up to us.
So I agree with part of that. The last part I agree with, which is teams have clearly caught up to them. They clearly
passed them in a lot of cases.
That's more than fair. Yeah, and if they're not going to make the playoffs, and two of your division rivals are going to finish ahead of you in your division this year, in the Chargers and Broncos, and they have, they have surpassed you. I get what he's saying about the team. Like last year, we all know the one score game stuff. You know, I still think though, clearly as the season has gone on, though, whether it's whether it's the ball not bouncing your way or whatever it may be, this year's team, clearly at this point though, is not as good as last year. Like I think at week 10, we played the audio of Travis Kelce. He was saying he'd rather have this year's roster than last year's roster.
And yeah, that was 4 weeks ago.
And I was riding with that as well in week 10. But the last four games, I don't know how you can really even agree with that anymore.
No, I think that they've taken serious regression on the defensive line, so they're worse there. They're worse at linebacker. Whether it's just Tranquil got a year older or Bolton got a year older, even though he's like 25 years old or whatever the hell happened. They're not playing as well. The corners aren't playing, or the safety play is specifically worse. The corner play is probably comparable. And so I think it's fairly obvious that despite the fact they have what was last year's planned number one wide receiver back in Rashee Rice, they're not much better in the wide receiver unit as a whole. And the offensive line was definitely better for a portion of the season, but certainly it's hurt now. It's not. So I don't know. I can't go back. I was on that train there for a while too. I think they're just going to have to make some tough decisions. Are they, like you said, are they going to extend Chris Jones or just ride out this contract and eat one more expensive year and then start anew after that? Are they going to Take a call on Trent McDuffie. Are they done on the Drew Tranquil part of things? Are they fine on the offensive line, which we can talk about later in the week? They're going to have to just make difficult decisions. And yeah, it just feels like a natural end to the dynasty. Normally, I feel like it's slower and you have to look back a couple years and be like, oh, it kind of ended a couple years and they were just kind of mediocre. But because they were in the Super Bowl last year, it's hard to be like, well, now already after 1 year? But it just feels that way.
Is this something, though, where last year the signs were kind of there for what this team might be this year, where last year they won basically all of those close games. And some of that has kind of, they've been in the same amount of close games this year, but they have lost them. They decided to run it back after last year, which, again, after you make the Super Bowl, it makes sense. But could some of the writing maybe have been not on the wall, but it was graffitied over. It was covered up a little bit.
Yeah, for sure.
Like it was painted over where there were some warning signs, whether it was age or anything else. And then they basically bring everybody back on defense. And then you get a couple more draft picks invested. And it actually looks worse because the things that they were executing well down the stretch last year, they're not this year. And that's where we see the record difference from 15-2 to now 6-7, even though a majority of the roster is the exact same. The coaching staff is almost the exact same as it was compared to last season when they made it all the way.
But, you know, Alex pointed this out yesterday. Yes, obviously they had some problems last year, and yes, they recovered up by winning and going to a Super Bowl again after winning the Super Bowl 2 years in a row. But, and this is where I would give not a pass because, like, look, you can be better than this and you can make these things, but, like, we always pretend like Bill Belichick made every tough decision and every tough decision right. He sent off guys who got 80 sacks after they left the organization. He made some wrong decisions too. I don't know very many people on this planet who'd be willing to make wholesale changes on their roster, wholesale changes on their coaching staff while they were actively going to back-to-back-to-back Super Bowls. At what point are you like, well, this all's not working? You'd be like, I don't know, man. Even if you're looking at yourself in the mirror pretty seriously, that's a tough thing to come to.
I'm not saying they should have, but I wonder if the signs were there potentially, but were ignored because they were so good at winning those games late.
Absolutely. Yeah, no, I'm with you there. Absolutely there were signs. But yeah, it is kind of like yesterday when we were discussing it that, you know, the not only when you're having the success to that extent, you know, you're not going to, you know, fire your, let's just say, you know, an OC or something like that after you just went to a Super Bowl or something like that. Right. But you also, as an organization, and it paid off, they made a clear decision and one that I had no issue with at the time. And I still don't today, even if now you're paying the price. Yep. Which is they kept the core together, an aging core, talking about Chris Jones in particular here, really, being honest. And I understand he's coming off one unbelievable performance, but just across the entire season, he was not the same player here in 2025. I think that was pretty evident. And so they chose to keep the core together. They paid the money to do that. And it led them to three straight Super Bowl appearances and two rings. And so not going to complain about that by any means. And now the decisions get tough. I mean, we can pull up the Chris Jones numbers and things like that. Again, it is going to be a really, really interesting offseason in how they handle that. You might just
he's
look
at a ton of money.
His cap hit next year is $44.8 million. if they were to get out of it next year, after this year, essentially, you know, there's $64 million in dead cap. Then after that, it's 19.5.
So that's here. He's on the roster next year. Either they're going to, but they could extend him. Change the number, but then it's, you know.
But then you're just pushing it down the road. Again, that's what I'm saying. Like, you got to make a decision. Are you willing to rip the Band-Aid off and it's going to, and it can really be rough in 2027 or 2026, I'm sorry, and it sets yourself up to be a lot better position in 27? Or are you going to try to slow play it and then all of a sudden we're still talking about, well, it'll be till 2028 before you can feel like you've got yourself in a good spot financially? Remember, they're way over the cap, and a lot of teams are, but they're considerably over the cap heading into next year, and they don't have many guys under contract.
They are currently the fifth lowest of effective cap space, according to overthecap.com. Bills, Chargers, Colts, and Falcons, the only teams worse than them in that department.
Yeah,
I say the good news is the Broncos and the Chargers are both in the bottom six with them. So at least they're not,
Bo Nix is going to be, believe it or not, Bo Nix will be having to get paid here soon. It's only been, like, this is only year two. Yeah, but you're only a year away. Like, you're only a year away where they say what you will about Bo Nix. He's going to get paid. They're going to sign him to a long-term deal in the next, you know, 16 months, we'll call it, or something.
God, do you know who has the most cap space next year?
Patriots again?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Their quarterback's not making big-time money yet.
Yep.
So they got another 2 years or so of runway. On that, 913-586-7965. I think this is interesting. Someone said, how is it the end of a dynasty just for one down year? If it picks right back up, the next year is a new dynasty. I agree with that, but I think that's the conversation is Not that if they do that, yeah, the dynasty would continue. Like, if you tell me next year they are back in the Super Bowl, then obviously the dynasty is not over. We are saying when you look at the roster,
it feels
and you look
like
at the cap, and you look at the aging, I'm telling you that it's not happening next year, I guess is what I'm trying to say. And therefore, it's the end of this current iteration. There's going to be a little bit of a reset slash rebuild. Is it a one-year thing? Is it a three-year thing? Is it a five-year thing? None of us have the answer to that. But you're right that if they got right back there next year, then it continues. I'm saying, and I think Cody agrees,
yeah,
that where they are at with the roster, it is very clear they are going to have to take a deep breath here and pivot a little bit. Not blow the whole thing up. They're going to have to reevaluate. And luckily, they have the most difficult piece to find in the NFL already on the team. And that is still the best quarterback, in my opinion, still in football. And that is Patrick Mahomes. So the hard part is still done, right? The hard part, all these teams, the Jets for 25 years, it feels like it's been less than that, have been trying to find a quarterback. They got the hard part done.
Yeah.
So they got the core piece. Now, Danan Hughes also said this about just this season. And some of this is where we've been spoiled, which is, was it just one of those years?
I just don't. I mean, I feel like this is just a bad season, guys. Like, mm-hmm. We won 12 close games last year, and we lost 6 of those this year. Mm-hmm. Like, and to think that an overhaul is necessary and we need to start relieving guys of certain duties, I just don't know that that's true.
And respectfully, that's where I disagree.
Everyone's a year older, too, yeah. Just further away from
We'll have Danan on the show again Thursday. And respectfully, that's where we just disagree on it. Like, I think that thought process, if that's the thought process of Andy Reid and the organization, I think that's a problem. I'm not saying they need to go fire 5 different people and all this. No, but if the thought is that, like, well, we just had some bad luck, we'll be fine with everything we've got in. That, to me, is a terrible mindset to have in his organization.
You have a 500 season with Patrick Mahomes. You got to look at yourself in the mirror and make a decision.
Right.
Little breaking news in baseball, right, if you had your hopes up. Slugger Kyle Schwarber has found a new team. The Philadelphia Phillies are finalizing a 5-year, $150 million contract for the MVP runner-up last year. That, according to Jeff Passan. No, I know.
He was not signing.
But he signed a 5-year, $150 million deal to remain with the Phillies, just so you know.
Okay. Yeah, that was a pipe dream.
I know it was. I'm just letting you know where Kyle Schwarber ended up. You know Royals fans like talking about Kyle Schwarber as a member of their team. I'm telling you, he's getting $150 million to be a Philly.
Smart on Philly's part.
Yeah, he's an important player, and they can certainly afford the contract on it. Let's talk a little bit about what happened in the NFL last night. We can talk about the Colts game later, the Chargers game later, which obviously, if there wasn't something that was already hurting their playoff chances, like, you know, themselves, every game the Chargers or Texans or one of these other teams wins puts you even further behind the eight ball, because the Chargers are pretty much the only team you can catch anyway. So if you were holding on to some slim hope, last night was devastating. But we also got the news that one of the teams who is vying for these final playoff spots is the Colts. And the Colts tried out Philip Rivers. Yes, Philip Rivers, who I could have been convinced was like 50 or 55 years old. It turns out he's only 44. Although a recent grandfather, I am to
His
understand.
Birthday was yesterday.
Based on that, happy birthday, Philip Rivers. They are so desperate. And this is where I think they're in a really tough spot. Because do they sign Daniel Jones to a contract now? Because how do they get out of it, Gold? When they traded for Sauce Gardner and they became one of only 5 teams this year who will not have a first-round pick, they were so all in that they're calling up Philip Rivers? Would you even want to watch Philip Rivers play quarterback?
Yes.
Just out of what, morbid curiosity?
If you told me in 2 Monday nights, it's Colts hosting Niners, Monday Night Football, and Philip Rivers makes his return, yeah, of course I'm intrigued. Of course I want to see what the hell that looks like. Yes. For a team vying for a final playoff spot, because they're not going to win that division. I absolutely would be there. You see this, of course, people are having fun with this on Twitter. Joe McCarthy on Twitter, just a random individual on Twitter. He said, the scene in the movie where the Colts owner, played by Sandra Bullock, storms in the GM's office and says, what about Philip Rivers? Can he still play? And the camera pans to the GM, Chris Ballard, and his eyebrows just raised, going to win an Oscar at that moment. You can just see it now. We're about to get a movie about this.
I will say
he
that actually would be a script that makes complete sense.
He last played during COVID.
Yeah, it's been 5 years.
What are we doing?
He was about to be eligible for the Hall of Fame, and if he does sign with the Colts, his Hall of Fame clock resets.
Come on, guys. Just give up on the season. Like, I know that you don't want to do that, but let me just make this easy for you. When you lost Daniel Jones, your starting quarterback, with only 4 games left to play, your season ended. That stinks. You know, buckle up. get ready for next season and try to win with Daniel Jones then. Phillip Rivers cannot save your season. He hasn't played football in 5 years. He's going to die. Anthony this is Richardson, elder abuse.
Anthony Richardson is on IR, not going to be activated. Riley Leonard's banged up. He's going to start in the meantime. They're trying to salvage their season. And yeah, there's not any good options out there. But this one, at least, you have my attention, Indianapolis. You have my attention.
Well, is it worth salvaging?
If you're Phillip Rivers, too, is the juice worth the squeeze? In fairness, I guess, because
what do you have to lose at this point, guys? Honestly, if you're the Colts, what do you have to lose?
Oh, if you're the Colts, you have nothing to lose. I don't think Phillip Rivers does either necessarily. But if you're Phillip Rivers and you think you're locked in the Hall of Fame, why are you going and doing this? In fairness, though,
because he wants a ring. He wants to better his Hall of Fame.
I was gonna say. In fairness, though,
a ring. What delusions he lives in.
If he signs and they somehow can keep him up, because you know he's going to be a statue in that pocket. If they find a way to make a run, then obviously he enhances the case, I suppose, a little bit more. Plus, just boosts his numbers, I guess.
Now I'm just looking at other guys that would do as good.
The Colts are mulling it over. The latest report is he threw last night for them. They're mulling it over. Look, we could get an update later today that says the Colts have decided not to sign him.
Maybe I'm going to say I lean that side of things. I don't think he's going to be
there. I hope they do. Just give us some more entertainment in the final couple weeks of the season, please.
How much older do you think he looks than the last time we remember seeing him? Because it's not like he's been on TV or anything. I haven't seen – aged 5 years in a closet for all I know.
His stress level is way less than what it was probably years ago.
He's got like 15 kids.
There's no way he's able to – I bet you he can't – right, you think he's following what they're doing on a regular basis?
He's probably coaching half of them.
I'm convinced when you have 15 kids, there's no way in hell you know what everybody did that day or that week. There's no way.
Somebody correctly pointed out on the text line, his oldest kid is older than Riley Leonard.
Yeah.
He's got a kid older than Riley Leonard.
His kid could be in the NFL right now.
Here is his kid.
In fairness, he doesn't have to worry about him as much, Cody, because he's an adult. So
he only has 10 children. They age from age 1 to 23. He has a 23-year-old, 20, 19, 17, 15, 14, 12, 10, 6, 1.
He's been getting after it.
I mean, what did he have time for? Just football and sex, apparently. He didn't have time for anything else in his life based on how often these kids were born. And he didn't have a single hobby for 20 years.
I mean, at this rate, it's still the same. He's coaching high school football or whatever it is now and could be back in the NFL. So, I mean, it's very cyclical.
Man, I couldn't do it. I'll tell you right now, as a parent of two, I couldn't have a one-year-old and a 23-year-old. I couldn't do it. I can't live that life. That life's for someone else. It's not for me. I can't have that kind of separation.
He made $243 million in his NFL career. $243 million,
Cody. I guess just for the sake of you mentioning it, I'm curious now. So your oldest is how old?
Nine.
So 14 years from now, you'll be 54, and that's when you would next have a kid. Then, if you wanted to have the same separation,
hell no.
As Phillip Rivers,
hell
with
no.
His children,
I'd rather like be a terrible idea from that point on in my life than have a kid at 54 years old. No way, not for me. Look, it can be for someone else. Live your own life,
Dad. You want to come out and throw the baseball with me? I'll try.
Who is it? Is it Robert De Niro that just had a kid and he's like 80? Is that right?
Yeah, I think so.
That what happened?
Yeah, it was.
I don't know how long. If I wanted to play catch with my dad now, because my dad he turned 60 in April. If I wanted to play catch with my dad, I don't know how long he'd be able to throw the baseball until his shoulder was like, yeah, man, I can't do anymore.
Robert De Niro had a kid born in 2023. So he's got
when
a 2-year-old.
He was 80.
He had his first kid. His first kid was born in 1967.
Unbelievable. That's 38 years. Oh, no, wait, 36
67?
Years.
I mean, that's a 60-year-old, essentially. He's got a 60-year-old and a 2-year-old.
A lot of people are asking the same question. Yes, if he were to take a snap in the NFL again, his Hall of Fame clock would reset. And I'm not saying he'd be a first ballot Hall of Famer anyway, but there's a chance eventually he would get in. And so, yes, he would have to wait another 5 years. That's also, I don't know how much that matters to him or not, but that's something to weigh.
Man. All right. Well, I guess we'll see. I guess we'll see whether or not he actually, I mean, again, just out of pure curiosity. Of course, if he makes a start, I'm interested in watching that game. I don't think I want to watch all four Phillip Rivers games. Do I want to see him make one start at 44 years old? Yeah, kind of.
You want to watch Riley Leonard? I mean, let's be real.
Oh, no, that's even less likely. Yeah, that's fair.
Who are their next couple of opponents, though?
Seahawks this week. Rivers wouldn't play this weekend
absolutely
if he
not.
Signed. So Riley Leonard against Seattle. Then Monday Night Football. That's the one I think they would target for Phillip Rivers. They host the 49ers. Then they still have the Jags and Texans.
Is Fred Warner back?
I think he's out for the year, isn't he?
Okay, yeah, that's what I thought. Anyways, I don't want to see him getting blindsided from one of the Niners defenders. I can't imagine what he might not be able to get up for a minute or two.
Life Alert commercials with Phillip Rivers.
Honestly, put the necklace around his neck in case he gets sacked.
Yeah.
Let him click the thing in case he goes down hard.
Yep.
You know, he might need it. Falling and I can't get up.
Someone said, Drew, I'm 61. I'll play catch with you anytime.
Let's go.
They said they also played for 18 years as a pitcher.
My dad played college baseball, and he had some injuries when he played. I don't think he'd be able to throw more than 5 or 10 minutes.
I do just enjoy a good catch, you know? Classic stuff.
Love it. Yep.
This is the same. Eli Manning played as recently as Phillip Rivers. Like, they retired pretty much the same. They're pretty much the same age. Does Eli Manning feel like he'd be ready to play football right now?
Phillip actually might be more ready because the fact that he coaches high school football, I'm sure he still throws it around.
Yeah.
You know, every now and then to his players.
We'll see. Their quarterback situation is weird. They're talking about Tyler Warren having to be like an emergency quarterback. They got a bunch, because again, Leonard's a little banged up. The thought is he still could play.
Hang on, I would rather see that. Forget Phillip Rivers. I want to see Tyler Warren have to play
their
quarterback. That's what I want to see.
Their depth chart right now has Anthony Richardson on IR, uh-huh. Obviously Daniel Jones out for the season. Uh-huh. Brett Rippon, on the roster as well, and then potentially a Phillip Rivers signing. So we'll see how that plays out. All right, up next, our NFL insider Vinny Pasquantino is going to call in. He was at the Chiefs game on Sunday. We'll talk to him about that. I believe he might have been at WWE last night. We'll do that and talk about the rest of the NFL.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. You bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here. Wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So that means a half day. Yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speeds low after 35 gigabytes of networks busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
Fell slate.
He's a husband, a dog dad, a first baseman, and a fantasy football commissioner.
Being a commissioner for the league is tough, and I'm really excited. I'm wearing a suit today.
He also likes to fill the bathtub with hard work and Jets tears.
I can't take any more disappointment. That's what he used to say when we watched the Jets games together.
But his most important job is being a Vin FL insider.
I haven't enjoyed a football season since 1969.
On 96.5 The Fan, here's Vinny Pasquantino.
Vinny's the perfect guest today because a lot of Chiefs fans, Cody, I think, are trying to figure out what do you do in January when your football team's not playing in the playoffs. It's been a while. It's been a decade, Vinny. What
are you kidding me?
Wow, what an intro.
Cody, sorry, I got your text just a few minutes ago. No, I did not go last night.
Oh, I thought maybe you were going to go to Monday Night Raw.
No, we hooked Carter up with some nice tickets, so he was front row, it looked like.
There you go. There you go.
Did he have fun? Did he say the proper thank you?
He texted me last night and said he had a blast, so it was cool.
I just didn't know. I didn't know how many wrestling fans are actually on the team. You said it's you and Carter at the very least. Does anybody else follow the sport?
Carter's never been to an event before. So it was his first time going. I don't know. To be honest, I have no idea how many fans there are around the locker room. There's a few.
At the very least you know, and maybe now Carter, that he's been to an event.
Maybe now Carter.
Now we can address the elephant in the room, which is Alex taking shots at the Jets just immediately before you get on the air.
My blood, sweat, tears, and hard-earned times on this show over the past 4 years, I'm getting that when we start on. Steven Spector, I'm expecting a phone call from you after this.
And a direct apology.
You were at the game, though, right? You were at the game Sunday?
I was there.
What did you make of that?
Not a whole lot. it was tough game. I think everybody expected Mahomes to be under duress the entire game, and he was. So the Texans have a really good defense, and they did enough on offense to win that game. What are the hot storylines going on? What are people saying about the Chiefs? What are you guys saying about the Chiefs?
I think, to open the show today, I think we were maybe trying to acknowledge that when they get through the end of this season, they're going to have to look harder at their roster than they have in years, and that this initial part of the dynasty is probably coming to an end, and it's how do you kind of restart the second phase of it under Patrick Mahomes, which I think is fair.
So I think the dynasty talk is so tired, and I don't mean that in a negative way towards the Chiefs, but I just mean like it was a bad year. What does that mean? Does a new dynasty start next year if they're good? I guess I just don't understand how that works in terms of dynasty talk. I think it's just they've found a way to win the past few years, and they're finding ways to lose this year. And you got to, you still got a shot at the playoffs. So I guess the Chargers winning last night hurt a lot, right?
Yeah, it's pretty devastating.
Yeah, I think people are – you're right. I mean, if they were to somehow next year go back to a Super Bowl, then you're right. Like, did the dynasty end or did it not? And I think the issue in the conversation we're having today, and we had yesterday a little bit, Vinny, is the idea, though, you look at this roster, there's some pieces that are aging out. They only have, 36 guys under contract next year. The cap situation's not the best. That maybe this is a little bit of a reset in some sort of way next year to position yourself again for the long haul.
Cody, I just sent you a text. I need you to look at it and read it on air, please.
All right, let's just real quick. It says
good.
The Jets are expected to check in, quote, on Patrick Mahomes this offseason. Now, in fairness, the name of the guy is Rich Johnson.
Rich Johnson. Yeah. It's Richard Johnson who I found that out from.
Uh-huh.
So the Jets are going to check in. We have 5 first-round picks over the next 2 years. But like I've said over the past few years, this is the offer I make to the Chiefs. You can have the 5 first-round picks over the next 2 years, and you can have the Jets' first-round pick until Mahomes retires.
I mean, it just still wouldn't be enough. That's the problem.
You can have 15 first-round picks.
I mean, that is kind of tempting, 15. But at the same time, it's like, I can't guarantee the Chiefs would ever get it right. Like, they'll never get it right like they got with Mahomes. I still think the Patriots should regret letting him go to Tampa Bay and letting Bill Belichick run the show.
You're talking about Brady?
Yeah, right at the end.
But it seems to have worked out for them because he cloned himself and he made himself Drake May.
Yeah, that's the thing.
So being a Patriots fan is awesome right now. However, their season is going to end in brutal fashion when they actually play a real team and they lose to them. So that's going to suck for them. But it's okay. The football season is weird this year. No Burrow, no Lamar. No Mahomes in the playoffs. That's kind of terrifying.
And even the Bills don't look quite the same. I contend, and I know that this probably sounds weird, Vinny, because like the playoffs and getting the playoffs matters. If the Bills lose in the wild card round of the divisional round, their season will be more embarrassing than the Chiefs season in a way, because you finally didn't have any of those guys in the playoffs and you couldn't get through then. Like, when are you going to get through if you let somebody else jump the line?
Yeah, I think that's an easy thing to say for you, but shut up, respectfully.
That's fair. You said respectfully, so you can pretty much just say whatever at that point.
Respectfully. I don't. It'll be more public. Like, it'll be like a quicker downfall in terms of if you lose in the divisional round. Like, honestly, McDermott would probably get fired, right, if that happens, wouldn't you think?
I would think
especially
so,
with Daboll out there lurking.
Mm-hmm.
So that's tough. But, I mean, obviously, not making it to the playoffs is worse than losing in the playoffs, in my opinion. I say that as a guy who roots for a team that hasn't made the playoffs in 15 years. I would love for them to lose in the first round of the playoffs just so I could feel something. But you guys have been feeling so good the past few years, this doesn't even matter to you. However, Arrowhead emptied out pretty quick the other night, I will say.
Yeah, for sure.
That was a little tough to see, but I get it. Totally get it. The team's got to play well in order for – I say the same thing about Coughlin. Like, we got to earn the right for people to be there. So just a tough night overall. However, Bob and I made a few nice plays at the DraftKings tailgate. I don't know if you saw that. But,
I did. I saw you were throwing some passes hard there.
Yeah, so we were doing it. And, yeah, football season's coming to an end, fellas, but I made the Fantasy League playoffs.
Yeah, well, how's the Fantasy League going overall? Who like, tell us who did not make the playoffs in that league.
Our replay guy, Bill Duplessis, did not make the playoffs. And he was a jerk to me about some of the things I did as commissioner, so I was happy to see him not make it.
All right.
Bob did not make it. Adam Frazier did not make it. Mike Yastrzemski did not make it, which I'm happy with because he was also a jerk to me about some things I did as commissioner. Let's see. Let me go through it. Cole Reagans finished first.
Oh, wow.
Did I just see Edwin Diaz to the Dodgers?
Yeah, it just happened. Yeah, you did see just that. Happened.
And Schwarber is with the Phillies, which
Schwarber
I
Schwarber back
so.
To Philly. Mm-hmm. That's cool. Let me see. Sorry, this is... I also just took a bunch of pre-workout because I'm about to go lift. So heart rate's going, so it's hard to focus a little bit right now. Okay, this is the order. Cole Reagans finished first. He was 23-5. Michael Wacha was second. He was 22-6, but he scored the most points in the league, so he's going to get paid out. Chris Bubich finished third. Vinny Pasquantino finished fourth with the third most points in the league and the most points given up. Don't know what was wrong with my defense this year, but making the playoffs and giving up the most points I feel pretty good about. Taylor Clark finished fifth. Randall Grichuk finished sixth. Bill Duplessis, replay guy, finished seventh. Adam Frazier, eighth. Jonathan India, 9. Kyle Isbell, 10. Bobby Witt Jr., 11. Mike Yastrzemski in last place, 7-21. And Mike Yastrzemski is also the person who tried to make a punishment for the league. So if he were to happen to be back in Kansas City this year, he, I think, has to do something during spring training to certify his loss of the Fantasy League. So that's what happens when you get traded over to a new team mid-year, and because you're a veteran, you think you can control the rules. Karma. Karma
you know,
happens to
I,
you.
The way I view it is, I just feel like this was a key indicator the pitcher just had more time. What you described to me was a leaderboard full of guys who only throw every 5 days.
Yeah, weird. When guys have more time on their hands that they can focus on fantasy football. That's actually a really good point.
Yeah, hold I mean, you got to play every day. You got to play 6-7 days a week.
Yeah, and I was playing every day, too. So, like, I don't have any time. pitchers, it's kind of BS. So it's me and Randall Grichuk fighting these pitchers off. And it's going to be tough, but I feel good. I feel good about where I'm at. I'm appreciative for Taylor Clark for dropping Brandon Aubrey halfway through the year and me just being able to pick him up for free. So that was nice. But, yeah, I'm really excited about it.
What did Yaz want the punishment to be? Did he say, or he just wanted a punishment?
Well, what we wanted to do was sing the national anthem at spring training opening day. But it just I think that would be hilarious.
Oh, man, that'd be incredible.
Another good one would be during a spring training game, you have to go up on the concourse for 1 hour and you have to sign anything anybody asks you to. You can't say no. And then the other one is a classic of you become the bat boy for a game.
I've seen that one. So, yeah.
Yeah. So something like that.
If you become the bat boy, though.
Almost in last of the Wives League. So good job on her.
Okay. Well, I mean, look, the Wives have a whole league, too?
The Wives have an entire league as well, yes.
Are you the commissioner of that one?
Actually, I was, yes. I set up that league for them. Yeah.
Double commissioner.
But then heavy is the head that wears the crown, you know? So I got to be good at my job.
Yeah, that's important. You say you're getting ready to work out. When's the official off season run up to spring training? Like
today.
Today. Yeah. Oh man, you're officially in it.
I've already hit. I just had some food, and then I'm talking to you guys, and then I'm going to get into the gym, and then yeah, we're building. So, and with the World Baseball Classic happening this year, it's a little bit quicker. Who are you guys in Kansas City going to root for when we play Team USA? It's me versus Bob, first time ever.
Well, I mean, I've never even been to Italy.
Got
to
go America, Vinny. You know? I got to go America.
That's messed up, guys. That's messed up. I thought I earned a little bit of equity with you guys, and then you're just going to do that.
Anytime Italy against anybody else, okay? Against anybody else.
How many times has Bobby come on your show?
Like once?
Maybe once, yeah.
Maybe once, exactly.
Fine, I'll cheer for Italy if that's what it takes.
Thank you.
But do you guys have any Italian cheers yet?
No, you just put up your two fingers in the Italian thing. And I didn't even describe it, and everybody knows.
I did it immediately the second you said it.
Exactly. Exactly.
I can't help it. You and Cags, right? You guys are on a squad together.
Yeah, Cags is playing. Here's a fun one for you. If Michael Lorenzen is going to two-way, he is going to play both sides of the ball for Team Italy, hopefully.
Wow. Didn't he?
Not officially confirmed yet, but we're working on it.
What position did he play? Because I remember this. He was like a position player. He was outfield. Both, right? Okay.
Played outfield. Yeah, he played some center field. And we need right-handed hitting desperately on Team Italy. Let me think about running through this roster. So, Nicky Lopez, I believe, will be playing for Team Italy again.
Okay, another former Royal. Playing.
Yeah, another former Royal. Jack will be playing. There's a chance that Yastrzemski plays. Sal Frelick had to back out. But it's a bunch of left-hand hitters. There's a few minor league guys that are playing. It'll be a good group. This has been good football talk today, fellas. We've been doing a good job.
You know, we can cover multiple things. Plus, you just seem like you're full of energy, which is good.
I am today. Today is a good day. Yeah. So anything else you got? Winter meetings are happening.
I can't really ask you all right, give us one free agent you're interested in for the Royals. You know, I don't feel like that's
there's
the
a
conversation.
Lot of, there's
for
a lot of Royals rumors out there right now, Vinny. So yeah.
Are there?
There are about,
yeah,
you know,
absolutely.
Quite
there's
a few.
Yeah, speculation out there about targets. Harrison Bader's a name that's being floated out there. You've obviously.
How do you guys feel about that?
Some questions about. Yeah, I question that one a little bit more than some of the other names.
Frazier was getting mentioned again.
So disconnected.
Okay.
Frazier's getting, yeah. I have no idea what's going on. So
Yastrzemski, Frazier.
This is news to me.
Yastrzemski, Frazier, Bader, pretty much outfielders, right-handed hitting outfielders is pretty much where all the rumors start and begin.
Gotcha. So, offense is good. Getting pitching is good. Playing defense is good. Running the bases is good. You know, it's all good.
They're all good. Everyone helps. Austin Hayes, that was the other one. I couldn't remember the last
Austin
one.
Hayes, that's true.
That Do you know any of these guys? Have you met Bader?
No batting gloves. That's some grit. If you don't wear batting gloves, you are tough, in my book. So,
all right, we'll go ahead. Drew, go ahead and tweet that out. Vinny advocates for Austin Hayes. That's what it sounded like to me.
I am on the record as sitting right on the fence. Everything you say. I have no opinion when it comes to that. The only opinion that I have is come March 28th or whatever it is, I'll be ready to go.
That's
all I know.
I like that.
All right, man. We'll let you get going here with the workout. Thanks for calling in the show.
I appreciate it, guys.
That's Vinny Pasquantino, our NFL insider. Talking a little baseball there. I'm always fascinated by that. I obviously know he's not going to, lock into the free agency and tell us exactly everything that he wants to have happen. However, I was surprised. Do you think they check out with the rumors and everything? I feel like he's well aware of some of the stuff that's going on out there.
I think so. But also, I don't know that he turns on alerts from Jeff Passan.
Sure,
but he clearly has somebody on because he went to go look at his phone to send me something.
Diaz.
And then immediately saw Edwin, and those were the two that Passan sent out. Edwin Diaz to the Dodgers, and then Schwarber back with the Phillies.
But guys like John Heyman and others have been speculating about some of the outfield interests. Again, it truly is just rumor stuff right now. Nothing has happened. It's just we all know the Royals are interested in outfielders, and so any outfielder that might be available, and if that team is seeking pitching, there's a match there potentially, and so the Royals are going to get mentioned a lot of these names.
I got to say, Team Italy's got a heavy Royals
influence. A lot of Royals.
Lorenzen, Vinny, Cags, Nicky Lopez, that is a Royals-heavy squad.
The Italian Royals.
I'm serious. I'll root for Italy, for Vinny and Cags, etc. when they're not playing the U.S. It's pretty simple. Otherwise, I got to root for the U.S. Are you kidding me? I got to root for the U.S. Any other country that Italy plays, I will be rooting for Vinny's Italy bunch. You know? I forgot Cags was playing for the Italy crew.
Yeah, he'd signed up too. Yeah. It's a Royals or former Royals.
Vinny did not like my open today. He did not like my
open.
He said,
"You're picking on my team. Why are you picking on me today?"
He immediately pivoted to talking to you. Immediately. He had no interest. What do we do in January, guys? What do we do? I feel like the Jets fans can help me out. That's all.
You hear a lot of mock draft sounders is what it, I'm sure it sounds a little bit like, you know?
Not until 2026.
Yeah, not until the calendar turns, Drew.
I wonder if Bink's
not allowed in 2025.
I know that Bink and Chris obviously do a great job of character concerns. I wonder if we're going to get any more mock drafts from them than we typically do because of this situation. If they're going to feel the urge to come out with two per week or one every week instead of every other week.
We have until the end of April or early May, whatever the draft date is this year.
Currently, the Chiefs would be the 14th pick, right?
It's in Pittsburgh this year.
Yes, I think so. It is the 14th pick, Cody. Yeah, I think it's in Pittsburgh.
But they're tied with a couple of other teams. I'll tell you right now, based on the records, they're never getting in the top 10. Those teams are just too bad. Top 10 currently is 4-9 or worse.
Oh, yeah.
The Chiefs aren't just falling to that level. It'll probably be a top 20 pick.
April 23rd through the 25th of 2026.
The problem is how quickly you can slide down. They're 6-7. 7-6 would make you the 20th pick. As it sits right now,
that much of a swing with just
because 6-7, 7-6 because they're playoff teams. In fairness, there's some 8-5 teams who would be below those, but it still adds a little bit of a challenge.
Someone says people are texting in what they what they're doing in January instead. Once they're booking a trip to Costa Rica, they said they got the all clear now.
I just got to pick up some hobbies or something. I don't know.
You're just gonna bake. We know this. You're gonna bake.
Probably.
You're gonna bake more.
And then January, I think like late January, class starts back up, so I have to teach some more. You know. Plus, you know, I got to get on the assistant staff.
I mean, I say all this, and I'm still going to watch every single NFL playoff game. It's just I'm not going to care as much. That's all. But I will still be locked in. I'm obviously going to watch the divisional round weekend. It was one of the best weekends of the calendar.
You might be more locked into Kansas basketball than you've been the last couple of years.
For sure. Darren Peterson played against Mizzou. Looked pretty damn good to me.
Join the club of sitting on the couch in January and watching
games. That's true. Actually, you know what?
It's not too bad. You know,
I'm going to text Vinny and apologize.
Could have just asked Drew.
I should have asked our producer, Drew. He's also well aware of what it's like to not be in the postseason for
at least for the last 3 years. Is it 3 years in a row they've missed the playoffs?
This will be the third year, yes.
Oh, man. Yeah, that's what I meant. Definitely. All right. Like, you know, let's give Drew a little airtime since we picked on him as well.
Mm-hmm.
On Tuesdays, we give him a chance to talk a little college football.
Yeah, and we're going to talk about
what do you have for us?
We're going to talk about bowl games here in a second because I know you two feel a little bit strongly about that, as do I, of course. But first, the Heisman Trophy finalists are set. It is Fernando Mendoza, quarterback at Indiana, Diego Pavia, quarterback at Vandy, Jeremiah Love, running back at Notre Dame, and quarterback Julian Sayin at Ohio State. Who's your Heisman? I feel like it's Fernando Mendoza, and he locked that up cleanly on Saturday night.
Yes, I mean, I would agree.
I don't know
with
about
that.
You guys, but
I think Mendoza absolutely is going to win the award now, and I still think you know there's a real chance that Pavia will finish second ahead of Sayin now.
Yeah, because Pavia was the favorite going into the day, and then the odds shifted in real time to Fernando Mendoza, of course. Who, by the way, post game had one of the most epic interviews post game that we'll see from a college athlete.
I don't know if this is the best way to handle it, but I feel this way about baseball MVP and NFL MVP too. Is that I feel like winning it should also be like you were the story of the season. You know, like I felt like
for
Cal
that team
Raleigh,
or just in general.
No, for the like college football.
Okay,
like for baseball, sure. It should have been Cal Raleigh. He was the story of Major League Baseball. They should have made him the MVP because he was what Major League Baseball was in 2025. I think Fernando Mendoza is obviously the story of college football in 2025. So he tells the story. You give him the Heisman because if it's close, who's the person who would be the poster child of what took place that year in the regular season? It's Mendoza.
Yep.
It's definitely Mendoza.
I think it won't be like all that close when it's all
I don't think it'll be unanimous.
And we also know the Heisman voting's a disaster anyway. We talked about this a year ago.
800-900 people.
Heisman,
right?
Too many voters.
It is
some of these guys
than
vote
the AP poll, though.
Some of these guys vote before games are done. You know, conference title game weekend is over.
Yeah, we can't be doing that.
We've talked about this. Some of the people that are voting have no business having a vote still.
Mm-hmm.
It's just the whole thing. They need to narrow this thing down to no more than 100 to 200 voters and figure it out from there anyway.
It's bad. It's pretty bad.
Hey, and in fairness, it's crazy. Indiana, along with being the number one team in the country, might have the Heisman Trophy winner and the number one overall pick. Who would have thunk it?
It's the greatest turnaround in college sports history.
100%.
Barry's Bill Sanders.
It might even be one of the best turnarounds in sports history in general.
So we were going to talk about this. I think there's a little recency bias in here as well. I mean,
of course. I think there's some.
You guys want to talk about more later? We have some more,
time. Yeah,
because I think it's an interesting conversation about, because of course I'm talking about what Bill Snyder did at Kansas State. Two completely different eras. They're not apples to apples anyway. Mm-hmm. So there's going to be some things we cannot compare. I think Kurt Cignetti has done an incredible job and is right there in the conversation. I think we should not forget, though,
the dynamics of
what were going on at K-State when Bill Snyder took over. But anyway, go ahead.
I think that's right. And again, we're going to get into it later. Final thing, K-State included in this conversation, of course. They declined a bowl invitation, of course. They were 6-6, but they said, no, we're not going to do it. We'll pass. 10 other schools did, including KU, had an opportunity to play in a bowl game. Not sure exactly which one it was, but they go through a list of teams that could go, and then they start going down the list of 5-7 in teams that technically aren't bowl eligible. Would you want to play in the bowl game? And many of them have said no. KU included. It feels like this is an opportunity, though, to see what you kind of got. And I know that sounds a little weird, and I know you weren't eligible enough to make it, but if you have a chance to go see Isaiah Marshall in game time and you're KU, by all means, see what you got at quarterback next season and just kind of evaluate things from there. It's almost like a spring game, but actually against another opponent to see who you kind of got underneath the bed of players who are graduating, going to the NFL, or potentially could also be going to the transfer portal.
So we talked about the bowl games yesterday a little bit. I think they're meaningless at this point in time, and they need to reconfigure this. I'll say, as far as KU and the other schools that decided not to do it, I'm with you on the practice part of it and the benefit of extra practice. I do think there is, as a Power Four school, there's, whether you think it should be or not, a little bit of a pride element, which is, 9 other schools said no, and we're 5-win team, and we're going to go to a bowl game. That's something that you are going to get bleeped for a very long time with your alums slash other fans against your alums and trash talk. It's the same reason why people joke about some schools that hang NIT banners. I put it in that same realm. I have no issue with KU or any of these other schools turning down bowl games. They're meaningless if you're not in the CFP. They don't mean all that much. And I understand Kansas doesn't have exactly a long track record of going to bowl games. If this was a decade and this was their first chance to go in a decade, like prior to when they went 3 years ago with Lance Leipold, I'd have a different answer for you. But not when a bunch, that's embarrassing as a Power Four school, when a bunch of schools said no just so you can get in. So you go play Georgia Southern in Birmingham.
Absolutely not. But that's who your program is. And it's not even meant to be, because like Lance Leipold has certainly been better. He's been to 2 bowl games.
Nah.
And now the 5 years he's been the coach. But it could have been 3 and 5 years. And for Kansas, considering where they were,
if I'm a player, why am I playing in it if I'm a player?
I just don't think they've been.
Because it might be your last game. You want to end on a high note.
Take the people who are going to be there. I mean, I understand the argument.
Can you feel the roster?
They've been to 8 bowl games in my life.
Yeah,
I'm 41 years old. You got to take bowl games if you're Kansas. That's just where your program is.
There's 85 players on a roster. They'd be able to field a roster of kids that can. But plus, the school.
You say that, and we just had examples of 3 schools last year that couldn't do that.
That's because they had everybody go into the transfer portal. I think
people
that
will go in the portal.
Yeah, but we're not seeing that with Kansas. Like, if you're available to play and you don't have players leaving, why not take the money? Because you get a check. If you're KU as well, you get a check. The players get to play. For all we know, ended on a high note, and
a high note with a win against Georgia Southern.
Yes, instead of getting your ass kicked for the last 3 games of the season, essentially, I would much rather end on a win. If you're Jalen Daniels, why would I want to end the season the way that I did?
This season needed to end. It was a highly disappointing year. It's time to move on.
Also, K-State, by the way, and Iowa State fined $500,000 for declining their bowl invitation.
Honestly, that's fair too. This is part of the conference job.
It's more embarrassing for them to decline and also get fined in the process.
The most embarrassing is Notre Dame. Because you're more than good enough to play in a high-level bowl game, and you were like, we don't have to.
Agreed.
Just continue. Like, we don't want to do the rules and whatever. They should find Kansas, because it is actively hurting the conference.
Kansas State.
Yeah, gotcha. They should find those teams for turning down bowl games, because you're actively costing the conference money, and being on TV as the Big 12 member. you know, so it's good.
That's a little college football look. I do want to talk more about Indiana and Kurt Cignetti, and then, of course, the comparison. I think it was Reese Davis, guys, on Sunday. I made the comparison to what Bill Snyder did and said it was a better job, better turnaround. I think that's really interesting. But up next, let's talk about the latest NFL playoff picture. Not trying to tell you the Chiefs are making it, but just want to look at where things sit on both the AFC and the NFC side. And what happened on Sunday at T-Mobile Center? Not the result, which was a great one if you're a KU alum, but the game we all thought we were getting did not happen. We'll explain what we mean by that next.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
So you want to start a business. You might think you need a team of people and fancy tech skills, but you don't. You just need GoDaddy Aero. I'm Walton Goggins, and as an actor, I'm an expert in looking like I know what I'm doing, even when I don't. And I like the sound of starting my own business, Walton Goggins Goggle Glasses. But I'm an actor. I don't know what I'm doing. I needed help. GoDaddy Aero uses AI to create everything you need to grow a business. It'll make you a unique logo. It'll create a custom website. It'll write social posts for you and even set you up with a social media calendar. I didn't even realize I needed a social media calendar. GoDaddy Aero will take your idea that sounds good and make a business that looks like you know what you're doing. GoDaddy Aero can get your business up and running in minutes. You know what that sounds like? It sounds like a plan. Get started at GoDaddy.com/Aero. That's GoDaddy.com/AIRO.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.